Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, the final episode of 2021. It's hard to believe I'm saying that. This year went by actually kind of fast. I mean, considering how much of a drag 2020 was, 2021, it was a drag in its own way too, but yet the year seemed to go by fast. But this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long. Yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
Long
could be Batman, totally.
The Caped Crusader.
Yeah.
That's a good one, thank you. The Caped Crusader.
Especially you guys actually would make the perfect Batman and Robin, this version of Batman and Robin.
I know, right?
Yeah. And I could see Matt saying things.
That's right, old chum.
Golly gee, chum. And
I'm
supposed to throw out the holy, holy whatever.
Yeah, for the holy hot dog, Batman.
That's right, old chum.
But yes, old chums, this is our last episode of the year, and then we are going to take a few weeks off. And for those that sometimes don't make it to the end of the episode and they only listen to part of the episode, we plan on being back the weekend of January 15th, I think is the current plan. So, that way we can lead into Long's birthday movie the week after that. Whatever that may be, but we just need a little break to recharge our battery, so to speak. I think we were all long gave us the idea, and at first I was like, a break? I don't know, what would I do with my free time?
Yeah.
But then I realized no, Long was kind of right. It's good to recharge your batteries and refresh things. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come back after the first of the year with bring you some more great movies, and I think I'm brainstorming some ideas for a couple of new segments as we've retired the top five officially. We're still going to bring you all the cool movies and stuff and the geek news and whatever's happening out there. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about 2022 here at the end of the show. This is kind of our year-ending episode with our last movie of the year. We're going to look back on 2021 and kind of look forward to 2022 as we end the show today. But for now, you guys good? Ready for Christmas?
Heck yeah, man.
Yep.
This is our annual Batman Christmas episode that we do every year. And so happy holidays to everyone out there, whatever it is that you celebrate. You know, you can't always say Merry Christmas now. Sometimes people get pissed off because we live in a...
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
We live in a sensitive-ass society now, and you know, fuck these fucks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm saying it as many times as I can so they can cancel the show so I don't anymore. No, I'm joking.
Damn. I feel violated in a weird way.
Jeez,
Long. Merry Christmas.
But yes, I am. I'm ready. Yeah, it'll be fun. It's always good to see the excitement of the kids. So it'll be nice. And typical Texas Christmas is it's going to be like 80 degrees and humid. It's like, fuck.
I know, right?
It was just 50 degrees 4 days ago or 3 days ago. And it's like, God dang it. Is it too much to ask for a cool Christmas? I don't want snow and all that shit, but at least cool outside, you know? But whatever.
You know, can never have it.
Shorts and t-shirts on Christmas. We had a cool Thanksgiving, so I guess that was our trade-off. It was cold Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It was cold Thanksgiving Day.
But, oh well. It is what
not
it
is. Not as cold as my heart.
Not as cold as your fart.
Yeah.
Welcome, Scrooge McGrooge, to the show.
Scrooge
McGrooge. Bah. Bah.
Not true. I said Merry Christmas 10 times.
Yeah, I mean, Scrooge wouldn't do that.
How can I be a Scrooge?
Jekyll and Hyde, man. You've just turned completely 180 on us.
No, it's called bipolarism. No, I'm joking.
No, you're not. You're not crazy.
No.
Oh, did I just call bipolar people crazy? Yes, I did. Oops.
Hey, my ex-aunt was bipolar. I can say she was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I have an ex-wife that falls in that category. Yeah. I better, I mean, you know, she could listen to the show. You know, I mean, the show's accessible to anybody. I mean, I doubt she does, but she could. You know,
it's true.
And, you know, maybe I'll get a text. Stick your
dick in crazy.
I'll get a text from her. Don't call me crazy. Whatever.
Fuck off. Don't say that about me.
So we're just being jolly here at the end of the year. Fuck sensitive people. Yes. Fuck ex-aunts and ex-wives and whatever, you know. So let's bring us some prize. Let's bring some happy joy to the world with a really fun movie today. But before we get to that, download this where we tell people what we watched, stream, checked out this week. And, man, I have not had a chance to watch The Matrix yet. My hype kind of died down on it with everybody talking about it, saying that's just not that good. I will watch it, but I'm like, not as excited now. It's like, Matt, I'll let you start. I know you saw it, so.
Yeah.
I did watch a couple things. I just didn't watch that.
Yeah. I have to say that I came into it wanting to say, you know what, I'm going to ignore those people and I want to see it for myself and, you know, want to see what the continuation is. And, man, dude, I just can't get jiggy with this. That's probably the best way I can put it. The way they, obviously we know there's a Morpheus in this universe. I'm not fond of the way they did him. I'm not going to go into it because keep it mainly spoiler free. I don't like the ending. I don't like how they did Trinity. I don't like. Oh, I was willing to give the story a shot, but it slows down.
I heard it's real meta too, which is weird. How do you make the Matrix meta when it's already a meta world? It's already a meta world, and they made it more meta. I heard.
Yeah, and they really try and push the blue and red pill imagery, which was cool, you know. But there are some cool things in it, but I don't know. It's just, after seeing the ending, like I'd only seen half of it last night. Well, more than half of it as of last night. And then I watched the rest today when I got back home and I just no, I don't think it's better than Resurrection. I don't think it's better than Revolutions. I don't think it's better than Reloaded. It's definitely not better than the first.
That's a tough one. Revolutions isn't that great. So if it's not better than Revolutions, then damn.
I don't think so. I watched how they redid some of the stuff and I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, it's like they try and make some callbacks to the original and some of them are okay. Some of them are cool. Some of them are entertaining. But it just didn't work for me. You know, I feel like, I was jacked off and then left halfway there, you know, I'll just make it weird. Yeah.
Why do you gotta make it weird?
Jack is staring at me. Her face was just. there is an ending credit scene, so if you can wait,
not worth it
for the credits to.
I heard it like ruins things worse. I've heard that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It makes it worse. I'm just like, all right, this movie's stupid.
It's trying to be funny. I didn't mind it. It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So did you watch it?
I wasn't a fan.
Yes, I did.
Yay.
And I actually liked it more than Matt did. That's for sure.
Okay. I want to hear.
And here's why I liked it more. I give it a passing grade, actually. I liked it because the death scenes at the end of Revolutions was unnecessary and a bit morose. And I like how this movie fixes that, you know? It just gave those two characters, you know, the better potential of a better ending, you know?
I've heard it's more of a direct sequel to Revolutions than it is even the other two movies. Yeah.
But I felt like it kind of corrected their deaths at the end, too. Because, honestly, if you look at Revolution's ending, did they really need to die?
Right.
Yeah.
You know? It just made more sense. And I thought it was kind of creative about how there was a new version of the Matrix that fed off of emotions more than, you know, the factual way of functioning. I don't know what people are complaining about. The Matrix always had these meta conversations anyways. If you guys remember the call, the conversation between Neo and one of the leaders of Zion, that scene when they're standing in the big machine room of Zion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the dude was waxing philosophy like crazy.
Sure.
And I don't mind that part. Same thing with
the Merovingian. You know, he's always talking about existentialism. So it's just the same jargon to me. So I'm not a stranger to, you know, all the metaphysical talk. The action sequences, I have to say the martial arts is pretty good. There's enough wide angle shots to see what's going on. It didn't try to cheat too much with the action scenes. There's definitely a lot of nighttime shooting, a lot of use of dark shadows here and there. It's not as bright as the other Matrix action scenes, that's for sure. But overall, I'd probably give it a B- if I were to score it. I actually enjoyed the movie.
I've got C-. I see what you mean, and I think you make some points. I mean, how can you have a fourth Matrix movie without Neo and Trinity? So you have to correct the issue of their death. But some of the callbacks and the thing with Trinity at the end, Long, I just feel like I'm just like, really? I'm like, did we have to go that route?
I'm fine with it. Why can't it happen for her too?
It's because it's Neo, man. Neo's the one. If there's, if there's more than one, then he's not the one. I felt like it ruined his whole thing. Like, isn't he? If he's the one, then he's like supposed to be the greatest one, and forever. And
you're taking it too literally.
Maybe so. Maybe I'm
too literal. I am so sorry it shattered your childhood of the Matrix here.
Maybe that's what it is, but I don't know. I guess it's
not a big a deal. I mean, heroes are heroes.
Yeah. And
people got someone to look up to. It's too much cynicism in this world. So I'm just saying, hey, at least a very hopeful note, regardless of who the one is.
Yeah.
What's wrong with having the two, you know? So.
Yeah. And then just Morpheus, man. He's got a fucking martini like every other shot. What is he like, James Bond? And then he's like, hey. And I'm like, that's not Morpheus. Morpheus is mysterious. He's stern. He's serious. And it's like, I felt like it just ruined. I know it's not Morpheus. It's a different version of Morpheus. But I'm just like, I went there with different expectations, and when those expectations weren't there, I just felt let down. And it's not a it's a passable personally, movie.
Yeah.
And I agree with some of the stuff you say. I wish I would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah. Personally, I didn't mind. Didn't bother me all that much. Didn't really take me out of the film. I just wanted to see where they were going with the entire plot. That's the way I see it. I just let the story unfold, and the movie has its own story to tell. And it's like 20 years removed from the last movie. So
60.
Huh?
20 in our time, 60 in 60.
Well,
in theirs.
I'm just saying it's like still like either or. 60 years removed plus 20 years removed for us. It's enough time for us to get over it.
Maybe so. Yeah, I'm just so bummed,
Let the past die.
Yeah. Kylo Ren, the famous Kylo Ren line, let the past die, let it burn. Oh, man, my childhood.
Your childhood is fine. Don't be one of those people. You killed my childhood. No, you didn't.
I won't say that. I just feel like I wanted to relive it. I guess that's what I'll say. I wanted to relive it, and I wasn't able to. And that's why.
Just rewatch the first movie. Jeez.
I know. I'm just gonna take the purple pill, and
just take comfort in knowing that
you're starting to sound like these last Jedi haters.
Just take a comfort in knowing that Neo and Trinity ultimately did not die in vain.
It's true.
So
that is one thing you can say.
I mean, they're both heroes still. They're still celebrated heroes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. I wanted to see more of that that civilization that sprang up from revolutions, without getting too much into detail.
Oh, yeah. Got a little bit of that. And I guess we're going to get another film because it's just left wide open at the end. So
I liked it. I approve of it. I recommend it for anyone who's a Matrix fan.
No. You should watch.
Giving me a little bit of hope. Well, I know I plan to watch. I just really haven't had time.
You know how tough I am on movies.
Yeah.
So
I was, maybe it's because we've been getting so much nostalgia this year. You know, I feel like we've been getting a lot of nostalgia, and maybe I was like expecting it, and I got some of it, but not in the way I wanted it to. But yeah, it's passable, I think, but honestly,
knowing the Wachowskis and their films, did you really expect nostalgia from them? I would never have expected it from them. So I guess going into it, I'm not expecting nostalgia. Well, Wachowskis have always been, I know it was only Lana. She only directed this one. Her sister didn't really want to do another Matrix film, but generally though, they have always broken new grounds. I would never have expected nostalgia with them. They're the type of directors that are going to continue to move forward, and that's what they've always done in their careers. So knowing them as directors, I'm surprised you would have expected nostalgia, because that's the last thing I would
There were no retreads that I could sense, but I do sense some callbacks here and there,
right?
Sprinkled about.
But the callback is different than nostalgia. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely. Has its own identity as a film, and that's what I liked about it. And I would say it's kind of a Matrix 1.5 in a way, because it didn't have the big spectacle as the Reloaded or Revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a more personal story, I feel. A very personal story, you know, a very small story, but it does have some big ideas behind it. But there's a lot to bite into this film, I'd say. The first viewing, there's a lot of big, dense ideas that are introduced, and you won't get it on the first viewing, but I try to catch as much of it as I could on that first view, since it's fresh in my mind, because I've literally finished it half an hour ago. So, 45 minutes ago. So, I had a choice. So I'll let you know. But yeah, Mark, I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on it. Yeah. If you ever give it a chance.
Well, that was my plan. My plan originally was to watch Batman yesterday and watch Matrix today, but things got pushed back. So came home and watched Batman today for the show, but I'm definitely gonna watch the Matrix over the weekend. Other than that, I still have two episodes of Hawkeye left. I did watch the fourth episode where, Black Widow's sister shows up. That was pretty cool. Even though I already knew it was going to happen because the internet, you know, it's just the way things are. It's like, if you don't watch a show within the first week nowadays, you're like, well, fuck it, you're going to get spoiled. And even if you try to stay away from spoils or see people put in the headlines, and sometimes you can't avoid it.
Wife went to Hobby Lobby and someone spelled out the spoilers for Spider-Man. They spelled out Aunt May dies in Spider-Man 3.
Really?
Yes, at Hobby Lobby, you know, they spelled
stuff. Oh, and you just spoiled it, Mark. Matt.
Well, we spoiled the shit out of it last week. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And then I had to think for a second.
Every show is a first time listener.
Yeah.
And then I assume that. I couldn't get your Peacock to work, Matt. I forgot to text you. No big deal. So I just did the free trial for now. And I watched the first episode of Yellowstone, since that seems to be like all the rage right now. Everyone's talking about Yellowstone, and it's pretty good. And actually, I watched just the first episode, and I think I'm hooked already. It's from Travis Hillard. It's from Travis Hillard, who wrote Hell or High Water, which we all loved. So you can see the makings from Hell or High Water in Yellowstone immediately. You can tell it's the same style. It's a neo-Western, and like I said, I've only watched the first episode, and I can see why people like it. It's extremely well written, with just in one episode characters that are really interesting. So I think I'm going to keep watching that and get behind this trend that everybody's watching.
I think I've seen an animated counterpart to that show called Jellystone, and it's about a park ranger trying to deal with a couple of mischievous bears that.
Hey, Baboo.
Shut up, Long. You're making it weird like Matt, man.
But, that was awesome. At first I was like, really? And I'm like, oh, there we go. Here we go.
Jelly.
But I've always liked Kevin Costner, so I don't know. And he's good in the show. So
oh, he's in this film?
He's in it. He plays the family matriarch in the show, and it's good, man. It's good stuff. It's well acted. Like I said, it's from Travis Hillard, who wrote the story for Hell or High Water.
Matriarch or Patriarch?
So you can see where it's coming from.
Patriarch.
And,
okay.
But he said
it's got Patriarch. A prequel. It's weird. It's a Paramount show, but it's not on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. Or Patriarch, I guess. It's a It's got a prequel already on Paramount Plus. So you know, it's very popular. And so I was like, I need something to watch. I'm gonna give it a shot. And so far, so good. But you can only watch the first episode free. You have to have the Peacock Premium to watch the other ones. And so I don't know. So that's really what I watched.
Hawkeye. This week.
That was about it.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you?
I finished Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Yeah, I'll have it finished by this week.
Didn't blow me away, but I liked it. I mean, it had some really creative action scenes in it, too.
Yeah.
I had a lot of action in it.
I need to watch the last episode.
And just four episodes in, you know, I think I realized what I liked about it is that it's a little more lighthearted. Like WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier were some deep shit, you know, the themes they dealt with and stuff. And I haven't finished Loki yet, but I think I like Hawkeye because it's a little more accessible. It's a little easier to watch, you know, and sometimes Falcon Winter Soldier was dealing with some heavy stuff, man. It was, you know, you had to sit back and take it in. And I think Hawkeye is a little more light fare. And just tell me, you can spoil this for me. Please tell me he gets home for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't, okay, he good. Because if he doesn't get home for Christmas, then that's going to piss me off. You know, so I figured he did get home for Christmas. Otherwise,
I was disappointed he did, actually.
That's because you're cold-hearted, man. This is a very cheerful Christmas episode here.
What are you talking about? I said Merry Christmas 10 times.
Yeah, man, 10 times, dude.
But then you pull it all back with the
I said it more dark, than you.
Then you pull it all back with a dark heart.
I did watch Witcher Season 2, four episodes in, and so far I like it. I like where it's going, and it reminded me why I liked it. I had almost forgotten, but I like it. Henry Cavill is awesome, and going to keep on watching it until it's over.
Well, the good thing, after by the time we come back from our break, man, we will have about three episodes of Boba Fett to watch, and we will have season four of Cobra Kai. Damn. So we should have some good stuff to talk about when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
And so that'll be fun. So, but yeah, man, let's get into today's featured film. Kind of by default, a few years ago, we did Batman Mask of the Phantasm at Christmas time. So it kind of became a Christmas tradition to do a Batman movie. It kind of just worked out that way. And that's okay. Cause you know, Batman Returns took place at Christmas. And last year we did Batman Begins, and this year we thought we'd go a little bit more lighthearted and go back to 1966 to do the movie that's based on the Batman television show. And that is Batman, the movie. And ironically, this was originally pitched to, NBC and 20th Century Fox as a pilot for the show, but Fox had no interest in doing that. They're like, no, we're not going to spend a bunch of money on something that might not be successful. So instead, they gave him money to make the TV show, of course, and we got the first season. And this movie came out the summer after the first season. And actually, it's funny. Box office records weren't as well kept, but it's believed that it was fairly successful. It made about $4 million at the box office on a budget of just around $3 million. So it made its money back. And it allowed the show to get a couple more seasons made because of the money this movie made back. So there's a lot of Batman fans that don't know that. That Batman, the television show, survived a little bit longer because of this movie that was in theaters. And it has a Texas connection, which is kind of cool. It was premiered in Austin, Texas, because the people that made the boat in this movie are from Austin, and their payment for the movie was to have the movie premiere there, which is kind of cool. And it was delayed a little bit because originally it was supposed to premiere the weekend that the infamous shooter from the Texas clock tower shot people. So they had the movie premiere a couple weeks later after that was done and settled. So, you know, so it does have a neat kind of neat Texas connection for us, being that our show is Texas based. So I think that's kind of cool. But Matt, you want to summarize this? It's kind of a crazy ass movie in a lot of ways. It's definitely a 1960s hippie type movie.
The best way I feel like you can summarize this is that, see, you know, Batman and Robin have to face off against six villains that escape.
The Riddler, Penguin, Joker,
Catwoman,
and then what's his name, the made up villain, the comrade or whatever it is. Yeah. So five essentially.
So they have to face off against them. They're dealing with them one by one in different ways. Mainly deal with the Penguin, I feel like, in this movie. That's
a lot.
They dehydrate. They end up using this dehydrator, and they're testing it out. And at first they dehydrate some bad guys, try and catch Batman and Robin off guard. But then they end up dehydrating the world leaders. And it's a quest to basically rehydrate them and put everything back in place and capture the bad guys. Essentially, that's probably the most concise and accurate way I can generalize the movie.
Oh yeah,
there are some tangents there, you know, but yeah,
no, that's fair enough, because this movie is zany. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's a bit all over the place. Because, yes, like, there'd be, like, this really, like, long 3 or 4 minute sequence with Batman and Robin. They're talking and discussing their plan. Then it jumps to a 3 or 4 minute sequence with the villains and their plan. Then it jumps to a 3 or 4 minute sequence with the Commissioner and Batman, their plan. Then it jumps back to the villains where they continue their plan. And that's how it feels like the first 45 minutes of the movie is kind of this jumping back and forth to set everything up. But mind you, we got to stop and have an action sequence at the beginning of the film where Batman fights a shark.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous.
Shark repellent. He's on the Bowie. That's the torpedo scene. But man, dude, and then the friggin' bomb that he's trying to get rid of, and then he's just like, you know, he's trying to throw it away in the ocean, and there's like ducks there, and he's like, man, you just can't get rid of a bomb nowadays. The dialogue in here, man. I think Burt Ward uses holy insert word here, Batman, 90 times.
Quite a bit. Yes.
Yeah.
I know for almost all three of us, probably even you, Long, this was our first introduction to Batman when we were kids. I mean, you know, yeah, we had Batman the animated series in the 90s, but growing up, this show was in syndication. And I don't remember, I didn't even know the movie existed until I got a little bit older and I watched it. But I think what's fun about this, like, if you watch this, it's really bad, right? But it's also really good because it reminds me of a childlike innocence of when I viewed superheroes a lot differently than I view them now, you know? And I think that's what's fun about this movie. And it's forgivable for it being all over the place because at the same time, it's so cool to see these villains come to life and to see Batman and Robin on the screen. And that's what's a lot of fun about it. Long, what are some of your thoughts, man?
I first saw this when I was like 3 or 4 years old. And it's definitely the first Batman iteration I've seen. I've had fun watching it, and yeah, it's good.
I like it.
I like it.
You know, what's fun about it too is like, I feel like watching it. Oh, go ahead, Long.
For some reason, you know, the one scene that still sticks with me with this Batman film is the fact that he got his heart broken by Catwoman.
Catwoman.
Yeah. That was a very strange, long scene.
Miss Kitka.
You hear
yes.
that?
Yes.
Miss Kitka.
The scene drags on and on, yes.
And then Robin comes in and ruins it. Holy!
Yeah. You know. Robin's a total cock blocker.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't want to watch. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say no criminal activity.
Yes. It's so great, man. Yeah. And Adam West is fantastic in this movie. Like, he sells it so well. He plays this straight guy with these ridiculous lines, and he's like this rich playboy Bruce Wayne. But he pulls it off where you, like, if you're 6 years old, you believe this guy is freaking Batman, and he's so good, man. And I think that's what makes it work. And Burt Ward, too, he sells it as well. And that's what I was going to say. Like, you watch this, and, man, the entire cast feels like they're having a great time. From Cesar Romero to Adam and Burt to Lee Merriweather and Burgess Meredith, the guy – Frank Gorman, is that his last name? Gorman plays the Riddler?
Yeah, the Riddler.
Gorshin.
Gorshin, that's right. I mean, they're all just, they really are acting their asses off. If you watch it and really pay attention, like, they're really acting their butts off to make this a fun, physical, believable movie. Yeah. And
movie came out on July 4th. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was a July 4th weekend. A scene that stands out for me, I always forget, is the Joker has this device, right, that he's going to catch Batman by the foot and he's going to spring him into the ocean, okay? And, like, and then the scene when they're fighting the bad guys, one of the bad guys gets his foot trapped and he gets sprung into the ocean and he hits the water and he blows up. I'm like, does no one notice this guy blows to pieces in the middle of this fucking movie? It's really, like, what? He just blows up.
That's not how it's supposed to work.
I know, it's so bizarre in this middle of the movie, but you're just like, okay, that scene always stands out for me. It's a colorful movie. I mean, you know, it's real bright, like right off the comic book pages, and people don't realize, like, this is how the Batman comics were too back then. The comics kind of adjusted to the show. If you go read some 1960s Batman comics, they're really corny and cheesy, just like this. And Batman didn't really get dark till the 70s when Dennis O'Neill came in and started drawing him with the big ears and the huge cowl and a little bit darker elements to it. So this was the Batman of the 60s. But for the time, it's what people had. You know, they had the George Reeves Superman television show, and they had Batman 66. But this was that character brought to life, and Bob Kane and Bill Finger, you know, they were behind it too, and they helped produce the show, and it's what they gave the audiences, but it's a lot of fun to watch too. And there was a sequel plan that never happened. It was going to come out the next summer in between seasons 2 and 3, but the ratings did start to drop a little bit in season 2, so they decided not to do a follow-up movie. You know, but it's kind of cool that they got this one in a way. I'm with you, Long. There's some scenes of this, like, that you could have done this whole movie in an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 30 minutes. There's about 15 to 20 minutes of this movie that are just really slow. It's like, and it's a little creepy too, the whole Miss Kitka Bruce Wayne scene also. It's like, okay, this is a rated PG kids movie. And it's like, Bruce is trying to get his freak on. It's like,
oh yeah. It's like, so Miss Kitka. I don't know. I forget his lines. They're just, I remember whenever they're in the bed and he's like, I'm afraid we're being used as bait or something.
Didn't Honest Trailers Honest Trailer says that his line deliveries like a mix between Christopher Walken and Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. And whenever they were playing the excerpts of him talking, I'm like, man, he sounds a lot like Jeff Goldblum, but he's spacing his words out like Christopher Walken.
Walken, yeah. Yeah. I see it.
And then I like they talk about eugenics in the in the Honest Trailers.
When the world leaders were dehydrated.
And he's like, we need to restore everything as normal. And Robin's like, well, you know, the way the world is, shouldn't we skew those numbers somehow? And he's like,
yeah, they tried to throw
better.
Yeah. Some Cold War mentality in this movie. Yeah.
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 And what's crazy is, and they had to convince Adam West to even do the movie, because after just filming this TV show for 40 something weeks, you know, he wanted a break, but then he said he would only do it if he had more screen time as Bruce Wayne. And that's hence why we get these long Bruce Wayne scenes. So, but you know, most people didn't want Bruce Wayne scenes. You know, they want Batman scenes, you know, cause that's what you went to see this for.
They also threatened to recast him if he didn't do it.
Yeah. They threatened to recast him. Also, Julie Newmar wasn't able to come back as a Catwoman, mostly because no one told her that they were making a Batman movie. Then when they went to ask her, they assumed her schedule wasn't booked. So they called her up and said, hey, come play Catwoman in the movie. She's like, well, I'm already doing another movie. So she couldn't get out of it. Then it turned out that other movie ended up never even getting released. It ended up falling down the cutting room floor, getting replaced by Lee Merriweather. But I think she came back later on, didn't she, to play Catwoman? I believe so.
I want to say so. Like, she came back in season two.
Yeah. There was a lot of cool stuff in this. It definitely a higher budget. You know, the little animated sequence where the Joker electrocutes guys, the Penguin submarine, the bat boat, you know, and all that, the bat helicopter. And that was a lot of the stuff was introduced in the movie because, you know, product placement, and everything has a bat label, which I get a kick out. Even when I watch the TV show, I always get a kick out of all the labels in the Batcave. You know, it's just like, bat phone, bat radar, bat magnifying glass. It's just like, it's ridiculous. But again,
the
it's
bat that water, of it all. Water dispenser.
Yes. The fight sequences are, you know, true camp classics of using animations like pow and wow and bang. And, but you'd never forget that, you know, as a kid, you watch that and there's something about it that you remember, you know, you're always going to remember watching these Batman fight sequences, whether it was in this movie or on the show, you're going to remember watching it. And I don't think there's one kid out there that we didn't do play fights in our yard and said things like pow, bang. I mean, you know, we all did it. This show and this movie is much more influential than people think. And it put Batman in the mainstream, you know, a lot, because that was another thing. Fox also balked at even they at first they weren't even sure they were going to do a Batman TV show. They felt that Batman was kind of dark and not super popular. And then they reran the serials in movie theaters and they got good reactions. And they came around thinking, okay, maybe it's a good idea to do a Batman show, because they didn't believe Batman was sellable at the time that the show started. Sure. And I'm sure they're grateful now that they did, you know?
Yeah. Cause we had the animated movie Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Oh yeah. Many years later, which is kind of a direct sequel to this movie in some ways. Yeah.
Did you ever see, I think it's an episode of 30 Rock, and Adam West is on there and they're talking about who's the best Batman. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, Bale, you know, he goes, I'm Batman, you know, and all of them were, he's like, no one had to, he's like, I didn't have to say I'm Batman. Everyone knew I was Batman. And, he ranks them. I forget how he ranks them. I think he says Keaton, Bale, Kilmer and Clooney. At the time, I don't think Ben Affleck was, I don't think his movie had aired yet. But it was cool seeing him talk, you know, who he thought the best Batman was. Of course he put himself number one, but under him was Keaton, Bale. And it was funny hearing him make his case, before he passed away. I think that episode aired like 6 months or a year before he passed. But yeah, man, I have to go back and listen to that argument.
But no, I don't want to say I love this movie, but I enjoy it. I like episodes of the show better because they're tighter and quicker and they're a lot of fun. I like how every episode is kind of to be continued. They're all two-parters, but the movie gave us an expansion of the universe of the TV show. And it's cool as a Batman fan. It's cool to see all the villains in one place, because it's one of the few places you can do that. They've never done a live action film like they've done recently with Spider-Man No Way Home. We've never seen a Batman movie like that where all of them have tried to team up. And of course, you know, a modern Batman film, if they all teamed up, he would have to have help from, you know, Nightwing and Robin and everyone else. There's no way he could take them all on himself, the true versions of these heroes. But back then, you know, these were different versions of the Joker and the Penguin that we know now. And Batman and Robin could take them out, you know, as old chums.
Yep.
I scored B for Batman.
I say B. Yeah.
It's a solid B, you know. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm grateful that we have this series and it was able to introduce generations of kids to Batman, like myself included. And I have the entire show on my Vudu account because they had it on sale one time for like $20 for the whole show, and I probably every now and then pop on some episodes and watch a few of them. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it was cool going back and watching the movie, and it's been a while since I'd seen it. So, oh, we didn't even talk about the bat bomb either, where he's running back and forth at the end of the movie. Like, it's like it's ridiculous. And his bomb has the longest fuse ever as he's running back and forth.
That's the one where, yeah. He tries to throw it away towards the end of the film.
It's like, oh, it's great stuff. But Batman, the movie, B for Batman. That's a good ranking. All right. Well, what was that?
Huh?
Leave it to Matt. But
I love it. I love it.
So we'll do some news here in a bit, but let's look back at a little bit here at 2021 and look forward to 2022. Man, 2021 was had some highlights. You know, I feel like we started to have a little more normalcy this year. I think I will agree with that, even though we're still fighting the pandemic. But it was nice to I really enjoyed in September going to the movies with you guys and seeing Shang-Chi and having lunch. That was one of the most normal things I'd done in quite a while. I mean, I know we had lunch earlier in the year for dinner for Long's birthday back last January, but going to the movies and all that was really nice. And I think for me, that might in a pop culture world, that might be one of the best things of the year is just getting back some normalcy. Cause I really enjoy film. I mean, I like television, but I do enjoy going to the movies and Comic Palooza. It was nice to get back and see old friends and do that again. And finally getting around to seeing Ghostbusters and just seeing the smile on Wyatt's face and how much he really enjoyed it. Seeing a Spider-Man film that I never thought I would see 20 years ago. Just some of the highlights for me of the year. And I think those are the big ones, just a sense of normalcy. I know we're not out of this thing yet, but it feels like we're getting there. And despite all the news lately, I still feel like we're getting there. It feels like things are – I think people are accepting that it's something we're going to have to live with. We're going to have to get booster shots or whatever it is. You know, if the pill comes out, take the pill. But it's good that for society and for our mental health to get things back to normal. That's some of the highlights for me of the year. Enjoying the Disney Plus rolling out shows. You know, that's been, you know, I'm grateful for Disney to give us entertainment to provide to us, whether it be the Mandalorian season, you know, 3, 2 or whatever else, or the Marvel shows. It's been good fun. So what are some highlights for you guys for the year?
For me. Yeah. Watching Godzilla versus Kong, with Matt.
Monsters.
Watching Shang-Chi together. The beginning of the year having Korean barbecue together, that was fun. Mark finally meeting my brother, and talk about the Astros, because you know my younger brother's really big into the Astros.
I still say
it's pretty cool to watch you two talk about, you know, that subject.
Yeah.
Finally. Well, yeah, he's a cool dude that I go to get to know him, and he moves away, so fuck him. No, I'm just kidding.
We need to do Dr. Sleep and bring him on here.
Right.
Has nothing to do with what he does, but...
But, yeah, it's been an okay, mediocre year in general.
It's been better than 2020.
Yeah.
The lockdown shit sucked.
I think the good thing that came from the lockdowns was like the streaming stuff. You know, obviously if you could do it all over again, you know, I traded in the streaming stuff to, you know, have that normalcy, but it's cool that we have it now. Cause I'm glad I did not go to the theater, you know, Wednesday for Matrix Revolutions. I think it's something you can, you know, absorb at home. You know, I'm not saying that because of my view on it. I just think that, Long, do you feel like you have to see it on a big screen? Matrix? No? Do you agree that you could probably skip the theaters on seeing Matrix and stream it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't want to watch it in theaters, and I developed a cough a couple days ago, and I didn't want to.
Oh, okay, being safe.
Didn't want to be risk it.
And then, Suicide Squad.
Suicide
Halloween Squad Kills. Cool. I mean,
I didn't see that.
We got all that streaming.
Yeah.
But yeah, same thing with y'all. You know, going out and eating, and you know, just raw dogging life, baby. Just raw dogging it.
That's great, man. Why do you always got to make it weird?
That's my second time. Okay, third strike, and then I'm out. So I'll be good for the rest of the day. But But yeah, that's kind of along the lines of what y'all said. You know, going to the movies together, going to Comic Cons together, and just, you know, hanging out. And you know, it's been fun doing a little bit more of that this year.
Well, yeah, and hopefully as we go into 2022, things continue to get a little bit more normal. You know, Compalooza is not till July. You know, we'll hit 300 episodes, which will sometime in May or June, so that'll be fun. That's amazing in its own fact that we'll hit that long on the show. And movies, man, hopefully they continue to get back to normalcy. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to in 2022. We've got the Spider-Verse sequel. I mean, we've got Mission Impossible 7, the Jurassic Park sequel, the Aquaman sequel. I wrote some of these down. The Thor sequel. Black Panther 2, Avatar 2, finally, you know, next December. Finally, Top Gun after 2 years. The Flash movie. And then I'm super excited for March 8th or whatever day it is, because I absolutely can't wait to see the Batman. I think it looks fucking incredible. I was starting to think, like, what is the next big movie? It might be the Batman, unless there's something in January or February I'm just not thinking of. But it seems like Spider-Man and The Matrix are such big releases that there might not be much more till Batman comes out in March. I have children that are highly looking forward to Sonic 2, you know, but, you know, and hopefully no more delays. Hopefully these things come out and we get these films, because I think in the society we're living in now, you know, there's got to be some self-choice risk. If you choose to go to the movies, you choose to go, you know, wear a mask or whatever. If you're vaccinated, you know, that's your choice. I think we just – early on in the pandemic, I was a believer of, you know, let's shut this shit down. Let's try to fix it. But I've come around now to realize, like, you can't stop life. We have to let it continue, and people can make their own choices to go to the movies or the Astros games or whatever they want to do, you know?
Scream.
I am a little more cautious about going places now. I think we all are. Like, do I really need to go? You know, but sometimes there's something I really want to see, like Ghostbusters or Spider-Man. I'm going to go see it, you know? And
you are a single dad with three kids, so your risk is a little bit higher.
So, you know, and, but, anything, I mean, but for me, Batman, and I'm kind of honestly, I know we don't need an Avatar sequel, but man, I'm such a James Cameron fan. I'm really looking forward to that. Those might be my, any highlights to stand out for y'all in 2022 that you're looking forward to movie wise?
Thor for me.
Yeah. Thor. I want to see that. Top Gun. I would say definitely, John Wick, definitely, but they Top Gun. Moved it to 2023.
It got pushed back next year, yeah. Definitely
Top Gun. Why did it get pushed back?
Maybe it's just too much competition. It was going to be March. Maybe it didn't want to.
I think a lot of it was just so much stuff got pushed back. Because you got to think, like, Jurassic Park was supposed to be out this past year. So was in Mission Impossible 7. You know, a lot of these movies were supposed to have already, Batman was supposed to be out back in October. So I think a lot of it was just a flood of movies got pushed back. So the studios decided to push some other movies back, you know. I mean, yeah, I think at the right, this coming out this week, like The Matrix was supposed to be out back in March. The big movie this weekend was supposed to be Mission Impossible 7. We were supposed to be going to see that Christmas weekend. So all this stuff got pushed back, you know. And so yeah, I think that has a lot to do with some movies just getting pushed back a little bit further. So yeah, but it'll be fun. And on the show in 2022, I mean, we're going to continue to do some. I was looking the other day. I was like, just when you feel like you've done a lot of movies, there's a lot of movies we haven't done. And I was like, man, we got to do that one. We got to do that one. You know, I mean, our 300th episode will be, you know, we will be Return of the Jedi. You know, that's obvious since we did Star Wars at 100 and Empire at 200. But that'll be fun because, you know, I love Return of the Jedi. I'm sure we'll do some Arnold Schwarzenegger films in there for Matt. You know, I'm sure Long will surprise us with a couple of his movie pick or a Godzilla film or two. And you know, I was telling Matt the other day when I didn't realize, and we didn't do a James Bond film all year, which is strange because we usually do at least one Bond film, but you know, we'll probably do a Bond film or something. And just some highlights that will come in on the show next year as we continue to trek on the Rebel Radio podcast. But yeah, so it'll be fun, man. And, and this year, man, this year was, you know, a good year, man. We did some good movies this year. Some highlights for me, you know, was, I really enjoyed the 250th episode and doing Temple of Doom. I like Indiana Jones a lot. That was a good one. I really liked last week's episode, man, talking Spider-Man, then Lord of the Rings. That was I felt like it was a really good episode last week. And, you know, that's a couple of highlight episodes I can think
except
of.
Except for y'all picking on me.
Sometimes, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes there's movies that I might cringe at a little bit, but then I end up having a lot of fun with them. Like Interspace, that was a lot of fun to watch and talk about. Even though at first I was like, do we really want to do that movie? So sometimes those movies surprise me, you know, and they're a lot of fun. And
And that was one to look forward to Matt's thoughts on that one. Since he's never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I provide the fresh view on a lot of stuff. Glad to do it.
Shit. Dang, I have a little nosebleed. My dry air, my nose has bled a couple times the last couple days. So stick with us in 2022. We promise hopefully continue to be entertaining. Let's do a little bit of news before we preview our next movie we're going to do in a couple weeks. It's not a lot of news to talk about, but a little bit. You know, they're doing a Ghostbusters box set that's going to come out in February when the new movie comes out. And the director of the Ghostbusters 2016 version is pissed off that they're not putting the girl version in the box set. And I kind of laughed at this, honestly. I'm just like,
yes,
you know what, dude? You keep defending this movie 5 years later and no one cares, you know. And his argument is that it's rated well on Rotten Tomatoes and that it's found an audience the last few years. I don't know what audience has found because I don't know anybody really likes that movie. So, you know,
heck no.
But whatever. So you can buy Ghostbusters Afterlife in February. And you can buy a box set with the first two movies in Afterlife and no girl Ghostbusters movie.
And it comes in a trap. It comes in a ghost trap, the 8-disc.
I know, I saw that. And I have a little boy who'd probably want me to pre-order that, but I might have to see how much it is on Amazon. Michael Keaton, who of course is appearing in the Flash movie, is not done with Batman. He's going to be in the Batgirl movie that's being made by HBO Max. Interesting. That's all I can say. I'm trying to figure out like what DC is doing. I think we all are at this point. I mean, obviously, a lot of people think they're doing a Flashpoint movie and they're going to just reset their universe. And I have this strange feeling that DC's not given up on a film universe. They just don't want to do the Zack Snyder thing. So they're going to reboot things with the Flash film. I mean, is that kind of the vibe you are getting? You know?
Yeah.
But so Keaton is going to be Batman. I'm all for Keaton being Batman. Don't get me wrong. I'm just like trying to figure out how he's going to work in a Batgirl movie. So we'll see.
Probably as a mentor.
Probably so.
Yeah.
So, and lastly, Marvel today, was it today? Yeah, I guess it was today or yesterday, officially released the Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness trailer, which is essentially, if you stay for the post credits at the all the way end of Spider-Man No Way Home, you got a trailer for Doctor Strange, but this is a full trailer with the logos attached to it and everything. And we didn't really talk about this last week, but man, I guess we did talk about it a little bit, but I kind of like that it's almost like a direct sequel to No Way Home. We get to see what Doctor Strange is going to have to deal with since he opened up the multiverse. And I think it's kind of cool to see Benedict Cumberbatch going to play a bad version of himself. Because, I mean, I still think he makes a really good villain like he did as Khan. So, you know, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
See him.
I liked him in the Darkness.
And that comes out in May. So we got to wait till May, assuming there's no more setbacks in these films.
Yeah,
let's hope not.
He's all right, but he's no Ricardo Montalban.
Well, no.
Ricardo
it's harder. Montalban. It's hard to replace the great Ricardo Montalban. I mean, I'm fair there. I think Cumberbatch did a good job, but you can't replace Ricardo. And but that's all the news I got. It's just a little bit. You know, it's a holiday week. Not a whole lot going on. So before we get out of here, we're going to come back, like we said, in about 2.5-3 weeks, around January 15th will be our next episode. And this, man, it's hard to believe this movie is 5 years old already. And we're going to go back and look at Hugh Jackman's final adventure as Wolverine as we talk Logan.
Hello. You know, you got to pay for that, right? Hey. Come on.
Not okay.
We got ourselves an X-Men fan. Maybe a quarter of it happened. And not like this. In the real world, people die.
Logan.
I don't want to talk about it.
Logan.
Just stop.
Be careful. I need the girl.
What girl?
Go get her.
No.
No. No.
And we're down.
She's like you. Very much like you.
So we're down.
I am not whatever it is you think I am.
She needs our help.
Someone will come along.
Someone has come along. This is what life looks like. People who love each other. A home. You should take a moment. Feel it. You still have time.
Directed by James Mangold. This was a movie that as a long, you know, Wolverine, we were talking Batman just a minute ago. Wolverine's probably my second favorite superhero next to Batman. And I liked Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I always did, but I never got like that Wolverine story I wanted until Logan came out. I finally got that Wolverine story I wanted. And it's an incredible movie. And as we'll look back on 5 years of it in a couple weeks when we come back and talk Logan. And get ready for 2022. And after the week after that, it'll be Long's birthday pick as Long turns 25. We're excited about that, you know? So,
yeah. And now his insurance goes down. He's able to rent a car. Good stuff coming along at 25.
Good stuff at age 25. But as always, man, stay safe. Have a happy, happy holidays and happy new year and Merry Christmas to all those people
that Merry don't want to Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Festivus, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. But
and may Krampus
we pay you a visit. Krampus, yeah, Krampus.
And the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your needs. We will see you guys, or you will hear us, I guess, in a couple weeks when we come back. And but thank you as always for listening, and we do appreciate it. And thanks for a great 2021, and on to a great 2022 as well. Until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, and we'll see you next year.
And as always, remember, just go there and do it.
There and do it.